And the entertainment in the studio right now is Sheriff Rob Meschel. How are you, Rob?
Good morning. Battling a cold, but we're doing okay.
Yeah, you know, I seem to be getting over something.
Yeah.
And it's I blame my rotten kid because he's been sick for about a month and a half now, it seems. It was the projectile vomiting that went with it. That was the stomach bug. Yeah, that was the stomach bug. So now it's a ear infection with a cold. So I'm really excited about to go home every night and give him a big hug and kiss. I'm like, yay! Because I certainly can't call in. It's my second week on the air.
Exactly.
I can't call in. And you can't call in. You're a busy guy.
I can't call in either, so I haven't yet.
Yeah, you've been working pretty hard over there.
We've been trying. I've certainly, one of the goals in taking office, you know, one of the main things was, I wanted to take a whole different approach as the sheriff. I want it to be visible. I want to be, at work every day. And I certainly think we've accomplished that. A uniformed sheriff, a working sheriff, the office every day, at the meetings, at the gatherings, at the community events. I'm just, I certainly there are, I can't be everywhere,
right.
But I'm surrounded by a phenomenal staff. Where I can't be, we've always got someone in my place. So.
I like how you wear your uniform all the time, too.
I've been wearing one for 22 years.
Yeah, no, it's
so
hard to take it off, isn't it?
It is. But I think it's important. And obviously there are times when, we're wearing a suit and tie, but for the most part, it's a uniform.
That's got to help with kind of connecting with the correctional officers, the sheriffs that are working under you, too.
Absolutely. Because
they see you in a uniform.
Sure.
You're not just some suit and tie guy.
And that's one of the things we wanted to do was, lead by example. And, that's one thing that I was always taught from the beginning. And, I want to be able to, when we change a policy, when we do something different, I certainly want to be the leader in following those policies.
I had to turn the air conditioner off. I'm sorry. If it gets hot in here, just let me know. Because the air conditioner, it's roasting in this little studio, especially when I close the door. But then when I turn the air conditioner on, it scatters all my papers and then I get freezing cold. But anyway, you were a street patrolman.
Yes, in Whitesboro. Well, originally in New York Mills, way back in 1989 I started. And worked in New York Mills for a few years, transferred to Whitesboro, worked there right up until December 31st of last year.
And you were the mayor of New York State champs.
Yeah, that's right, New York State Class D basketball champs.
Yeah.
Very proud of those guys, coaches, players. That's the school I went to, K-12. I was in Glens Falls as a seventh grader in 1982 when they won the state champs that
year. Really?
I was back again this year. We had a great weekend. I don't know as though there was anyone left back in New York Mills. it's just really neat, though. The whole community comes out, to support the team and to support their efforts. So it was a great weekend. And there's some neat stories there, too. I mean, you look at, we had one player on the team this year, a senior, Jeff Albright.
Mm-hmm.
29 years ago, his dad, Scott Albright, was on the 1982 team.
Talk about a legacy.
So there's a story right there.
And how was the transition from being the mayor to being the sheriff?
It's definitely different.
Sure.
It's a big operation. I have to say that it's a well-oiled machine. There's hundreds of 430 almost of dedicated, men and women that work there every day. So certainly the place is going to run.
Yeah.
The jail's going to run. The law enforcement division is going to run. The civil division is going to run. And it was running well before I got there. We're just trying to change a few things, trying to become a little more efficient, more accountable. We're certainly doing our best to cut costs. I mean, we're working actually all this week. I've been in budget meetings, not yet preparing for our next budget, but I'm trying to learn about everything that's in our current budget. It's a massive document. It's nearly a $34 million annual operating budget. There are things that were taken out. I mean, there were many cuts to the sheriff's office budget prior to my arrival, many positions cut prior to my arrival. The state, most recently, with their budget proposals, cut into that.
Yeah.
So we're facing some massive challenges. Bottom line is it's our obligation to protect the people, to have a secure correctional facility. So there are some changes we have to make. Something as simple as, and we've been looking at all avenues, but something as simple as implementing a idling policy for our patrol cars. We're guessing in this first year it's going to be difficult because it's hard to get people to change their habits.
Sure.
And it's going to be a little difficult to police at first. But in a perfect world, our fleet of 88 vehicles, if we can cut down idling just a couple hours a day, You're looking at like $105,000 savings in fuel costs alone.
It adds up.
It does. It sure really does. Yeah. When you're running a fleet of vehicles that big, you know, when we look at, you know, we're on the road 24/7. I mean, last year alone, we did some research for another media source, but, last year alone, our cars, our 88 car fleet in the sheriff's office was on the road 1.7 million miles last year in 2010.
Now, how big of an area does the sheriff's office cover?
1,200 square miles. Well, obviously, some of the municipalities have their own police departments and police agencies. But again, we offer supplemental services, mm-hmm. whether it's ID stuff, you know, accident reconstruction, backup on calls, not to mention the transports of inmates countywide, the transports of juveniles. But, you know, the Oneida County consists of three cities, 26 towns, 19 villages, 240,000 people. So it's a huge undertaking, but it's a very rewarding job. It's very exciting. It's very energizing. You know, and even though I'm older now, I haven't been this excited about work in
excited.
A long time.
Yeah.
And it's good stuff. I mean, there's bad days, of course.
Sure.
You know, when you're dealing with just the stuff out on the street that you deal with every day, and plus with such a large number of employees, you know, you've got a 632-bed correctional mm-hmm. facility.
Which everybody should take a tour of, by the
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely.
Not even when
absolutely.
They're kids, but when they're in college,
yes.
everybody should walk through that jail and
yep.
say, oh, I never want to land. I got an opportunity to walk through with
yep.
you a few weeks ago, and I'm glad I've never made it yep. past the holding cell.
It's, you know, and not only for that part of it, but also, I mean, the sheriff's office, because it's up where it is, up in Oriskany, mm-hmm. in the town of Whitestown, secluded away from everything yep. else, you know, people need to know that it's there. The only thing, you know, a lot of times people just see the price tag
yeah.
and some of the controversy that goes along with it. But it's a massive operation. It's a fine-run operation. And, you know, I want people to see what it is these employees have to deal with, whether it's the law enforcement division or the correction officers. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that these people have to put up with each and every day, and they're very dedicated and committed to serving Oneida County.
Now, big talk now in upstate New York. Finally, people are talking about it. Schools, every school district is in dire straits right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be layoffs. Some
yes.
school districts are closing.
Yes.
Police departments.
During the campaign, one of the important messages that I wanted to send was that, you know, the sheriff is in no position to come in and take over someone's police
mm-hmm.
department. So I wanted to make that clear. But if a municipality were to approach us and to look at ways of sharing services or consolidating, whatever you want to call it, then we would be the first ones at the table and you know, work to make it happen. Since I've taken office, we have been approached by some communities, and I say that plural, you know, who currently have police departments. And again, we're in the infant stages here, so I don't want to get into detail, but one in particular, you know, we've been talking with, and we're very confident that we can provide a equivalent or better level of service for their people at a much less cost than what they're currently paying now. Hopefully within the next few weeks, we'll be making some official mm-hmm. notifications and some official notices. And I think once we show people that, you know what, here's what we have to offer. We're not going to hide anything. We're going to do a public meeting. We're going to unveil everything in a few weeks here that we're able to do for this community. And we'll take questions from the public. And if the public supports it, then, you know what, let's move ahead with it. Because I think it's going to come to that no matter what.
Right.
I mean, the small...
I have to agree with you. It's just, it's going to be a domino effect. Once it happens, one place, and it becomes the model
yes.
for the process and everything. I think then people are going to start to say, this makes sense.
Yeah. And I want to stress that it's a local decision. It's not the
right.
sheriff's decision.
You're not going to come in here
absolutely
with a club
not.
And a badge and say,
absolutely
I'm taking
not.
Over your police
it's
department.
It's a local decision because there are some things that a small police department can offer.
Sure.
I came from
yep.
a small community. You came
yeah,
from a
yep.
small community. There are things those police agencies can do that a 430-man office
yeah.
can't do just because we're larger and busier. But then on the opposite end of that, there are some things that we certainly can offer, you know, 24/7 supervision, 24/7 criminal investigation
yep.
unit, 24/7 forensics unit. Those are things that small agencies don't have.
So if you let's say a township decides that they want the sheriff's department to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have like a satellite office in the town? What would happen to those officers?
Again, that would be up to that particular municipality. The one we're talking with right now, it's important to those local leaders that their full-time people don't lose their jobs.
Sure.
And obviously for me to have to take on more work, I'm going to need more personnel.
Yep.
So we certainly would work our best or do our best to make those people part of the package so that they're not going to be losing their jobs. Because, again, I can't take on any more work. I mean, we've had dozens and dozens of positions cut from last year to this year,
right,
both in corrections and law enforcement. So without additional people, I certainly can't take on additional work.
It's a tough time for upstate New York. It really is a tough time. I don't know how we survive almost. You read the newspapers every day, and it's another school district that's going to cut teachers.
Yep.
And how can we survive if we can't even educate our children?
Actually, last night, and you're probably going to think I'm crazy, but...
You're crazy.
I'm crazy.
No, just... no,
I went to the school board meeting in New York Mills, where I live, because they had a budget hearing, you know, and you're concerned because not only as a resident, but as a parent of three kids in that district, you know, you want to see, and again, I did a term on a school board. That's a very difficult position are in,
yeah,
because, you know, you need to provide that level of education, and everybody wants, you know, all the things to stay in place, but yet they don't want any tax increases.
Right.
So, I mean, you can't have both.
You can't. And, you can't. You know, sooner or later, it's that 2%, and I keep talking about it, that 2% property tax cap.
Without mandate relief, though,
yeah,
that would destroy everybody.
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 Everybody. It will wipe out our school systems.
Everything.
We're going to come down to having three mega super schools.
Yep.
Because they just can't afford it. And the mandates have already been cut to BOCES and BOCE payments. So what's left to cut?
Exactly.
But you know what? Who doesn't get hurt by this? Downstate.
True.
The numbers are glaring. Yep. And I've been trying to get a superintendent on. The superintendent from BOCES on, I can't get a call back, and I think it's foolish not to be on the radio, not to be on the TV, not to be in the newspaper every single day driving that point home.
Well, it's just like with us with navigation. I mean, the state's threatening to take our navigation money away. We've been lobbying both myself individually and the New York State Sheriff's Association. Since 1959, the state has reimbursed us for navigation patrol. Mm-hmm. Oneida County, we patrol seven different waterways.
Yeah.
We have for decades and decades. We've always, in the following year, the counties get reimbursement from the state. Well, the state, not only are they threatening to cut 2011's funding, they owe us 50% of $105,000 from last year that we haven't seen yet, and they're telling us they're not going to pay us for it.
And what happens when there's a boat crash or something on the waterways?
Exactly.
Who are they going to blame?
Me.
They're not going to blame the state.
Exactly.
They're going to blame Sheriff Rob Machel.
So in the Senate version of their budget, they have the funding reinstated. So we're waiting to see here in the next few days what the Assembly does. Hopefully they come through again, mainly to give us our reimbursement we were due from 2010. But also, without that funding, I cannot put seven boats on the water.
Right.
I can't do it.
And that back funding,
I can't do it.
You know, you did the work already.
The work is done.
It's like me working and then not getting a paycheck and be like, well, I put my work in all I want. I don't want a raise. I just want what I mowed.
Exactly. Yep. And we bought one piece of major equipment for navigation in 2010 with the expectation and the promise that we'd be reimbursed for it. We haven't seen that money either. So the next few weeks, we have to look at where we're going here, because without that funding, we may end up only on one lake out of the seven and the other six maybe on holidays. I don't know. I'm hoping that, you know, our local leaders at least come through. And we know there has to be changes. We realize that. But you can't cut us off at the last second. You know, we need to be able to prepare for this and make some changes.
Sheriff Rob Machel, thanks for coming in.
Anytime.